Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Unfortunately for America, too many colleges and universities are pushing the homosexual agenda, either by openly teaching the normalcy of homosexuality or by disseminating erroneous information about the lifestyle and the ability to change. Of course, this had all been speculation since so many graduate from these institutions believing homosexuality is okay and some people are just born gay. However, it is no longer simply speculation. We now have the proof in at least one state. But rest assured, the same would be true in the other 49 states also, that universities are pushing this lifestyle. My guest today is Christopher Doyle. He is a licensed clinical professional counselor and the director of the International Healing Foundation. He's also the president and co-founder of Voice of the Voices. Thanks, Chris, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Since Voice of the Voices was the organization involved in this operation, shall I call it, why don't you tell us what Voice of the Voiceless is?
Sure. Voice of the Voiceless, and you can find out more information on our organization and this project at voiceofthevoiceless.info, is a public advocacy organization that really began in 2013 simply as a response to the increasing gay activists, what I would say, work to both take away the rights of former homosexuals, individuals with unwanted same-sex attractions, and defame that community as well as the faith community that disagrees with homosexual behavior and seeks options and alternatives to that.
Okay.
And so we formed an anti-defamation league to fight against this defamation and also be able to defend ourselves and say, you know, we have the right to both seek a different path out of homosexuality, and we have a right to speak what our mind is. We have the freedom of speech in the United States, and we want to defend the faith community's right to pursue those options as well. And so we've become an organization that is speaking for literally the voiceless, the person that has unwanted same-sex attractions but doesn't feel like they can come out of the closet, so to speak. So we're speaking for them and defending their rights to do that.
Well, that's fantastic because, I mean, we're not talking about this particular issue, but increasingly, and including here in Pennsylvania, there have been bills, in Pennsylvania's case, a bill introduced to forbid the counseling of those with unwanted same-sex attraction. And in California, New Jersey, we know that those bills were, you know, those have become law.
Right.
But, a few weeks ago, we had an attorney with Liberty Counsel talking about the dangers of those type of laws. So that's fantastic because we do know that there were those who have come out of homosexuality, and you are one. You're an example.
That's right.
And you're being silenced by people like Wayne Beeson and who just goes berserk when he even tries to wrap his head around the possibility of changing because he is such an evil man. But Voice of the Voices is just a great organization simply because, as you said, you're giving a voice to those who have been forced to be voiceless.
And what's important for listeners to understand is organizations that are what I would call anti-ex-gay, they are being funded by the gay lobby simply for the purposes of defaming ex-gays and trying to spin people's words. They do this to American Family Association. Mm-hmm. They do this to Family Research Council. Mm-hmm. They do this to organizations like NARF and IHF, International Healing Foundation. This is what they do for a living. And how sad and pathetic is that?
Yeah.
That's what they're simply funded to do. And I think that says a lot about the gay activist lobby and the fact that they spend several hundred thousand dollars a year just to fund organizations like this to spin words and try to basically defame.
Yeah.
And it's sad and really unfortunate. We've had to now force to defend ourselves and go on the offense. And that's really why we went on this LGBTQ mm-hmm. resource project, was because we were tired of being on the defense for so many years.
And there hasn't been
a concerted effort to try to be on the offense. So that's what that's really what this effort was.
Which is fantastic, because like I said in the intro, we have assumed, because of the results we see, we've assumed that colleges and universities are, in fact, either pushing the homosexual agenda, pushing the idea that gay is okay, that people are born that way, or they are simply, and they're simply ignoring the fact that people can change.
Right.
And the assumption is no longer there. We have the proof now with what you did. And let's talk a little bit, because this happened during Ex-Gay Awareness Month, which was September.
That's correct.
And this is the first annual Ex-Gay Awareness Month. Give us just briefly a little bit of info on that.
Well, what we were trying to do during Ex-Gay Awareness Month, and it culminated in our first event in Washington, D.C., where we had several prominent ex-gays and members of the faith community come and speak and discuss some of the discrimination and marginalization that we as a community are facing. And it was a tremendous event. It was very successful for our first time, mm-hmm. and we're really excited for next year already. And what September's Ex-Gay Awareness Month is really focusing on was understanding how ex-gays are marginalized in our nation's schools. It's an educational awareness month. And so what we're focusing on first, one of our first projects, is understanding how ex-gays and individuals with unwanted same-sex attractions. Remember, these are people who don't identify as LGBT. Mm-hmm. Most of them are religious, Christian, or spiritual, and they may have same-sex attractions, but they believe that it's not in their best life or in their best desire, mm-hmm. to act on those, and they seek options. Some of them may go through therapy in order to help reduce, eliminate, and change those. Some might just decide to become celibate and abstinent and live a life of holiness, mm-hmm. apart from sexual activity. Mm-hmm. But they have the right to do that.
Absolutely.
They have their right to do that, and that's their decision to make, and not for the gay lobby to put that identity on them that they are gay. That's a self-identity. That's not an that's a self labeled identity,
right?
And not identity for someone else to label them as,
right? And it's the gay lobby who's pushing these laws that would ban sexual orientation change therapy for minors, such as here in Pennsylvania.
That's right. And so what we wanted to do was, and we fought against those laws, mm-hmm. and we are fighting against those, mm-hmm. laws. But what we wanted to do is, we wanted to go into state funded universities and see exactly what a student would experience who was in a position of either questioning or having unwanted same-sex attractions, and what the counselor would tell him or her. Mm-hmm. Now what we suspected was what occurred, and unfortunately, you know, this project was not about telling lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender students that they should change.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that is up to them. This project was about reaching the students who are questioning or have unwanted same-sex attractions and fighting for them.
And because they should have the right to have accurate information.
They should have the, yeah. right to get information that is both accurate and that is both sensitive to their needs. And remember, this is state-funded. So this is funded by public tax dollars. So the idea here is, if they're going to fund and give resources and funding towards LGBT students, they ought to be giving equal access and funding to students that do not identify as gay, that might seek a different option, that might want a different type of therapy to help and support them. And so this could range from providing educational resources and pamphlets in the center to allowing them to receive therapy within their university system, which they receive for free.
Mm-hmm.
And in Virginia, the type of therapy that they receive is, the initials is called CAPS. And what happens is, after you go through an LGBTQ resource center and you identify yourself as someone who needs services, they then refer you to this CAPS system, which will provide you somewhere between 8 and 10 sessions for free. This is being funded by the state in order to, as a service to the student. And so what is happening here is that the only kind of service or counseling that a person is getting through this CAPS counseling is gay-affirming counseling, which is not ethical and right, because a student,
right.
with unwanted same-sex attractions doesn't want to be affirmed.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to be affirmed,
yeah.
in their homosexuality. They want competent, cultural, sensitive counseling that is sensitive to their religious values.
Now,
and that is not happening.
No, it's not happening. This, and I don't know if you can answer this, but I mean, to me, in my mind anyway, the liberals have taken over the universities and colleges in this nation. The vast majority of them at least, have taken over the universities and colleges of America. And they're the ones who they themselves may not identify as homosexual, but they've definitely embraced the idea that gay is okay, and that if you feel that you're, you know, if you have same-sex attraction, if you feel that you're homosexual, then obviously you are. I mean, that's what they believe, I think. And in turn, they're relaying that information to vulnerable students.
Yeah.
Who, as you're saying, some of them may be coming to, you know, be away from home for the first time and may be struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction.
Right.
But yet, what you've uncovered, you went to seven of Virginia's 15 public universities, and that's where you did your undercover work, and what you found was that they would tell these students with unwanted same-sex attraction that obviously you're born gay and mm-hmm. and go with it.
Yep, and if you tried to change, you would likely become suicidal, mm-hmm. become depressed and anxious. And even if you did try to change, it's only going to change your behavior. It's not going to change your desires or attractions, which are all scientifically inaccurate based on some of the research that we've done, as well as some of the personal testimonies out there, including myself. I once was a same-sex attracted person. I also had opposite-sex attractions, but I had strong same-sex attractions. Mm-hmm. And after going through certain experiential types of experiences in my life, as well as getting group support and counseling, my same-sex attractions went away.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that I'm just changing my behavior. I experienced true change in those sexual feelings, and I work with clients every day. Many of them, which also have changed their sexual feelings as a result of addressing wounding and issues in their life that have caused those sexual feelings. And so, what we found out on these campuses is that not only was there a lack of unscientific information being given regarding therapy to change, they didn't understand what that change was at all. They didn't understand what that therapy was at all. They played on stereotypes. They said that it's just, you know, you're just kind of choosing to behave a certain way, mm-hmm. and that it's just behavioral
therapy.
You're
not being true to yourself.
Right, and they didn't even have the right terms for the therapy. They called it reparation therapy and conversion therapy. And so these counselors played on a lot of stereotypes that obviously had been they had heard from gay activists.
They had the talking points.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them were, I think, just deceived, and the others were ignorant. They just didn't have the information. And so what happened was...
Well, give us a little bit of background as how this, it was you and another ex-gay who went on these campuses, and what role did you play to get the information that you got?
Right. So we went in presenting as a graduate student, me and a colleague, Chuck Peters, who works with Voice of the Voices on our advisory board. And basically we took an undercover, we had a concealed recording equipment, both audio and video.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these are on our website. And the others are going to be on our website soon after we present this report at the North Convention in Phoenix in November. But what we did was we basically baited them, trying to get them to give us information as to what we would do if we were wanting to change,
mm-hmm.
and what their opinions were on the different issues around being born gay and so forth. And, you know, pretty much all of them took the bait, which wasn't surprising.
Yeah.
And we were able to, you know, we have the evidence to, you know, that they not only were giving inaccurate information,
mm-hmm.
but they were also giving medically inaccurate information in some cases about the nature of homosexual behavior. For example, at James Madison University, when I asked the counselor who was in charge, she was a professor, university professor, I said, well, you know, is there any risks to homosexual behavior? And she said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, if we were in the 80s, maybe there was an increased risk of AIDS or whatever. But, you know, and it was amazing that she was completely unaware, ignorant, or suppressing the information
mm-hmm.
that 95% of HIV infections among men between the ages of 16 and 24 occurred because of gay anal sex,
95%. Yeah, which includes the ages of the majority of those kids on those university campuses.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
And she was seemingly ignorant of the fact, and none of the university research centers did I find any information warning of the limitations of condoms for gay
mm-hmm.
sex. There is no condom that's approved by the FDA, Federal Food and Drug Administration, for anal sex.
Yeah, but we're constantly told those who identify as homosexual engage in quote unquote safe sex by
it's
using condoms. Yeah, that they'll be protected from AIDS.
It's a farce because whenever you have a prophylactic that is inherently ineffective
mm-hmm.
for the type of activity that you're sexual activity that you're participating in is absolutely not safe.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not
safe. And looking
safe.
At the statistics shows that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because not only is it not safe where the condoms break because of the nature of anal sex, but also people don't wear them consistently and correctly.
Yeah, and those are the two words. When you go to the CDC website, those are the two words, consistently and correctly. Those are the two words that are out there if the condoms are used consistently and correctly. Now, I've been to several gay pride events, parades, festivals, et cetera, and they're always handing out free condoms. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was in Philadelphia in June at the Philadelphia Gay Pride Parade and Festival, and the Philadelphia Department of Health was handing out free condoms.
Right.
And you see that up in Erie, they do the same thing, that the Erie Department of Health provides free condoms.
And there's no evidence really that I know of that suggests that increased condom usage actually leads to decreased HIV infections.
No, I mean,
in fact, there is some research that was done by Dr. Green, Edward Green, who used to be a professor at Harvard. He did some research in Africa. And what he found and this is not homosexual behavior, this is general heterosexual behavior, but what he found that in Africa, in the countries, and as we know, there's a huge HIV epidemic in Africa, and it's a generalized epidemic, meaning it's in a heterosexual population. Mm-hmm. It's not a specialized epidemic like it is in the United States, where it's mostly the gay population.
Right.
But in Africa, he found that in the countries where there was huge condom programs and manufacturing.
Many times thanks to U.S. dollars or tax dollars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In those countries where there was huge condom programs and an abundance of condoms, in those countries the actual HIV rates are higher than in the countries that focus more on abstinence, like Uganda.
Yeah.
And the reason is because of a term that I can't remember, but it's something around the idea of, and you have to forgive me for not knowing the specific scientific term that he uses, but it's around the idea of risk and protection. So when people think that they have a protection, like a condom, against getting a disease, they tend to have more sex and increase sexual partners.
Okay.
Because they have this perception, this false sense that they're quote unquote protected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
But when people realize the dangers of their behavior, and they realize that condoms are not going to necessarily protect them all the time, they change their behavior because of the risk.
Yeah.
And that's where these condom manufacturers and the people who push condoms, especially for gay sex, which is the most dangerous, are really doing gay men a disservice because they're giving them a false sense of protection.
Absolutely. And when you were at these seven universities, did you see, you went to the LGBTQ facilities?
Centers.
Did you see where they had free condoms available, like bowls
of condoms?
Absolutely.
I took condoms, I think, in nearly every center that I was in. I took condoms with
me. Wow. So they're not only providing false information, but they're also providing that false security by handing out a free condoms to the students.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And so
students, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the students who go in there who are questioning their sexuality, they are handed free condoms. They're told that they're born that way. And if they seek counseling, it could lead them to feelings of suicide, to suicidal thoughts.
That is basically what most of the universities told us.
And
some said it explicitly, some said it implicitly. But what we uncovered was a number of abuses in each of these university resource centers that we went into. And we're currently working with Liberty Council. Liberty Council sent a letter to each university president and the LGBTQ resource center saying that they're in violation of viewpoint discrimination and that they are vulnerable for a lawsuit if they don't make specific reforms. And so we're currently working with Liberty Council and these universities. Many of them have already responded and are working with us. You know, the lawyers that are representing universities asked for a little bit more time to work with us. So we're currently, our deadline was October 25th. We're giving them a little bit more time, and now we're currently working on specific policy recommendations of reforms for each of these university centers in order for them to properly serve those who would like to seek change, give them competent counseling and referrals, and ultimately avoid a lawsuit by doing that.
Okay. Now, at these seven university campuses you went to, I know that you were given false information, but in any of these universities, did they provide you with information about, well, let me put it like this, doesn't PFOX provide information, pamphlets and such?
They do. And PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, has sent many of these universities actual free brochures in order to display in their resource centers. And what we found is that there's a deliberate suppression and they're deliberately withholding this information. Either they throw it away, or they refuse to give it out, or they only provide it for a student that comes in and explicitly asks and says they want to change, which would be very rare because most students are not educated on the fact that change is possible.
Right, especially when you have a center right there and probably professors right there on campus who are saying gay is okay, that you're born that way, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just accept who you are.
Right, so by the time they get to the LGBTQ Resource Center, they're already indoctrinated.
Absolutely, yeah.
So they wouldn't come in. They probably wouldn't come into the center specifically or explicitly asking for that type of information, and these resource centers know that.
They're
well aware of the culture of what is said and how homosexuality is viewed on those campuses. So this is no accident. This is happening.
Yeah.
This is deliberate suppression and misinformation and viewpoint discrimination, and so that is currently what they're in violation of, and we are working with them and putting pressure on these universities change and reform their policies, or they're going to face a lawsuit.
That's great. You know, and this would never have happened if you guys had, what was it, 2.5 weeks in over a 2.5 week time period. You guys did this in September.
Yes.
Go to these seven universities, and we would not know this. This would not have been exposed if you guys had not done this. I'm sure. You know, this is Virginia, but I'm sure here in Pennsylvania it would be the same situation. That someone, you know, if someone were to do the undercover work, they'd find the same thing, expose the same thing that you guys did there in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they would, and, you know, we are not intending that this just to be necessarily a Virginia operation. Mm-hmm. We are intending to spread this project around in other states.
Well, we're not that far from Virginia, you know. We're just a little bit north of you guys.
I know, and we have supporters and people who are willing to help us, and we are intending to bring about major reform on university campuses as a part of our work.
And because and when you mentioned earlier about schools with ex-gay Awareness Month, the public schools of the K through 12, they're also being, as you know, inundated with the pro-gay, gay is okay message.
And it's a little bit more subtle. On the public schools.
In some cases. Well, yeah, unless there's an active Gay Straight Alliance who's actively, maybe not so much the teachers, but definitely some
students. Well, and what happens is that it's done in more of an after-school extracurricular setting, which allows an open door.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
that's the way that it's subtly done in that sense.
So give us your website again and how people, you say some of the videos are up already?
Some of the videos and audio recordings are up. Our website is voiceofthevoiceless.info. If you're out there and you want to help make a difference on college campuses, please consider giving a donation to Voice of the Voices so we can continue to do this work on a larger scale. We're a new organization. We have no paid employees. What the donation is going to be doing is just helping expense some of this work that we're doing, which is really, really, no other organization is out there doing it. We're the only one.
That is for sure. And like I said in the intro, we had assumed this was what was taking place on college campuses simply because of the result, you know, the graduates who are coming off of those, leaving those campuses who believe gay is okay. But you have proven that our speculation was a fact.
By Liberty Council working with us, we are now poised to make very specific reforms on these campuses, and we could do more, and we can visit more states and do more sites if people out there would generously give and consider giving to this cause. So please go to our website, voiceofthevoiceless.info, and make a donation.
Absolutely. People need to do that. I totally agree, because we have to expose this, and we have to take back this country. And
it starts with our youth. If we don't reach our youth
and get the
true message out there that people are not born gay, then our system will never change.
I mean,
the battle is being waged on same-sex marriage now. And there's a lot of resources and funding being put on there.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than reaching young people and helping them understand directly that people are not simply born gay and that some people can change.
We have to repair the foundations. And that would be the start was starting with the youth. Well, Chris, thanks so much for the time you've taken to be with us today and for this great work you've done. And do encourage folks to go to voiceofthevoiceless.info and to that website, watch the videos and support them in this much needed work. So keep up the good work there, Chris, and take
you.
Care.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.